Anyways, good morning and welcome to Engage Church. What a wonderful day it is. What a beautiful day outside it is. And the Lord is worthy of our praise. Amen. Every single day, He is worthy of us lifting up our voices to celebrate and to worship Him. And talking about celebration, we have a lot to celebrate today. And I believe the central theme of all that we celebrate today is this: new beginnings. See, today we have five marriages that were strengthened this weekend, going through the marriage adventure weekend. Those marriages are now on a new beginning, if you will. Seniors, you graduated yesterday. Brayden, you have a new beginning before you. Mom and Dad, you have a new beginning before you as well. As Brayden takes off to college and starts to figure out life on his own, he's soon to learn what it is to live off ramen noodles. And I told him that Wednesday night at Baccalaureate. I don't know if they're 14 cents a pack anymore, but that was like the bread and butter for me when I was in college. And so he's going to learn. So he needs a ramen fund, folks. So there's a basket out there if you'd like to put into the ramen fund. Lastly, moms, we celebrate you. Moms, we celebrate each and every one of you today. Moms, they have new beginnings all the time as life changes. They face new beginnings when kids are born, when kids grow up, when kids graduate, when kids get married. And then kids, they make you a grandma. And then you get to just start over with all the joy without all the stress, hopefully, as the kids start to grow. And then many of us in this room, we may not associate with either of the three things that I've just said, but we too experience new beginnings on an everyday basis. And so today, our theme, we start a four-week series on new beginnings. And we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at new beginnings in the Bible. And moms, before we continue, would you please stand to your feet this morning? If you are a mother, would you please stand so we can honor you today? Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And here's what I need you mothers to know. We have a gift for you. At the end of service, both Arvin and Tim, by the way, I didn't tell you where the gifts are. They're on the table by the t-shirts behind the connections stand. We have a gift for you. And if you don't have a green thumb, I'm sorry. Hopefully your husband will. Deb's just shaking her head no. Hopefully Dave can help you. But it requires a green thumb, I'm afraid. And so I would just ask that you stick around for a minute so we can make sure that we get that gift in your hand. If you have your Bible this morning, and I hope you do, and I know two kids for sure have one this morning, if you would you please open your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And as we celebrate together today with all the things that we have, and we celebrate these new beginnings, this is the start of that four-week series called New Beginnings. And today, we are going to focus on transitions. There's always a transition before a new beginning. And so today, we look at that transition. So let's get to our scripture this morning. Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through verse 11. It says this: He presented himself. Jesus presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appeared to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Could you just imagine that for a second? Jesus sitting here talking with you. It would be like Joel standing next here talking to me, and all of a sudden a cloud just... whoop. That's an awe-inspiring moment, isn't it? So the cloud took him out of their sight. Verse 10, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. What does that tell us? He's coming back for us, church. The way he went is the way he comes back to gather his church unto him. So let's talk about the transition. The disciples found themselves in what you could call a transition. They were in a transition to a new beginning of their life, to a new beginning in ministry. And that new beginning in ministry was without Jesus being with them physically. I need you to hear the word physically. Up until this point, Jesus was with his disciples. He guided them. They were able to talk to him. They were able to embrace him. They were able to see him. And so they just watched Jesus taken up into heaven. They are in a transition period. In our scripture, we saw that Jesus tells his disciples to do what? To wait upon the gift that the Father promised. To stay here, stay in the city, and wait for this gift. And what is that gift? The Holy Spirit. It's their graduation gift, Braden. The Holy Spirit. And Jesus gave them their ministry assignments, didn't he? You'll be my witnesses to where? To Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and throughout. He gave them their ministry assignments, if you will. You could say it was an assignment. It was given before them to do, before his ascension. Now, something you may not know. Jesus' ascension took place 40 days after the resurrection. Okay? 40 days after the resurrection. And Pentecost, that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place 50 days after the resurrection. This coming Sunday just happens to be Pentecost Sunday. So as we sit here today, the disciples, if they were here with us today, they are on their third day of waiting on Jesus' promise. They're hanging out in Jerusalem, waiting for the gift, wondering when it was going to come. And that's where we're at right now today on this Sunday. As we reflect on this time frame, And just this waiting, this expectation of this promise from Jesus, I cannot help but imagine the disciples' emotions. I can't imagine their thoughts and their experiences. I can't speak for them. But what I can do is I can speculate. I can speculate how I might have felt if I were in their shoes, what I might have thought or experienced. Just a quick recap. Jesus dies. He's put in the grave. He's gone for 3 days. What happens next? He rises from the dead. He is resurrected from the dead. He appears to his disciples, and he is with them for 40 days. He just needed a break from the disciples, I'm convinced. That's a joke, but he came back. He revealed himself for 40 days. To over 500 witnesses to give eyewitness testimony that they saw him alive. The best recorded history we have of somebody's existence is Jesus Christ, just in case you wanted to know that. And then, standing there with the disciples, watching him ascend into heaven, we could say that all of these things could be a shock to the system. Jesus dying, is that not a shock to the system? Seeing your teacher, your rabbi, your savior Peter knew him as Lord, being crucified on the cross. That's a shock to the system, isn't it? You could say that we were in awe. We thought Jesus dead, but then he shows himself to us. And then for the next 40 days, he's hanging out with us. He's teaching us. He's encouraging us as he's getting ready to release us into ministry. Then when he's done doing that, we hope that he sticks around. But what does he do? He ascends into heaven. He goes to sit on his throne, and he goes to do what? He goes to prepare a place for us. So we could also say that this is something that maybe could make us speechless, and it's something that fills our heart with wonder. Jesus is here, then he's dead, then he's resurrected, and then he's alive. And now, he's not dead, but he's gone. He's not present with us physically today because he has ascended into heaven to sit on his throne. What were his last instructions to us? His last instructions to us were in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. For 10 days, the disciples were left with this expectation to wait. Has anyone ever said to you, I have a gift for you, but I can't tell you what it is until tomorrow? Alicia's raising her hand. I don't know. Are you talking about Kaden? Yeah. Okay, so she has a gift that none of us knew until this morning. I know now, so ha ha. So, but that's the point, right? It builds an expectation. It builds a, we need to know, we want to know, we don't want to wait. And in today's society, when we're told something can be had, when do we want it? Now. We don't want to wait. When the internet goes out, we want it now. Don't we, Rochelle? When we want a new iPhone, when do we want it? We want it now. Right? I disconnected boys' watches. They had cellular service on their watches because we were getting overcharged. And long story short, I disconnected them a week ago. Guess who got billed for another month of billing last night? I contacted him and I said, hey, I want my money. It's my money and I want it now. I sounded like a J.G. Wentworth commercial, right? And I said, listen, I canceled these a week and a half ago. I wanted my money now, right? Now, sometimes things don't happen that way. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to have an expectation and to trust and to wait upon the Lord. I am sure that some of the disciples had hopeful anticipation for what was to come. Some of them may have been wondering when the Helper would come. When does this gift show up? How will we know when the Helper is here? How do we know when the Holy Spirit is here with us? And then some could have been sitting and understanding and realizing that Jesus is no longer with them in physical form. That he has departed from them, that he has gone on to be in heaven, and that might leave us with some sorrow and left with lots of questions. So some of the disciples could have been questioning everything that has transpired. But all Jesus told us to do is to wait and stay in the city until power from on high comes on us. And that's referencing Luke chapter 24, verse 49, if you would like to go look at that later. What we know is Jesus was sending His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which allows Him to be with all believers all over and for all time. The gift of the Holy Spirit was not just for the disciples. If it was good enough for the church then, guess what? It's good enough for the church today. And I would argue that we need it more today than ever. So Jesus ascending while leaving his disciples by themselves, what took place is Jesus sent his Spirit, which allowed him to be with all for all time. And so his presence is with us every moment of every day, every thought, every breath. Jesus' presence is with those who believe in Him. That is what I would call a new beginning. That is a new beginning in the church. A new start of ministry. Braden, oh, you're leaving, man. Listen, give me 30 seconds here. Since you're our only senior today, you're likely going to face many feelings. There's going to be a lot of emotions, and you have a journey ahead of you that you don't know what it holds. You have what we call a new beginning. You may find yourself wondering what things are going to be like. How could this go any better? How could this change? Where will you go and what will you do and how will you do it? You, sir, have new beginnings ahead of you. You can run and go do what you're going to do. I'm sorry. That was like the worst timing to say his name. He was on his way out. Those who attended the Marriage Adventure Weekend, all of you stay seated. We were challenged this weekend. And if, like me, you left having feelings and thoughts and a new outlook and a sense of purpose for your marriage and for your spouse, you could say that we are in a transition. We have an opportunity to make a decision and have a new beginning in our marriage. We could choose to either follow the advice and the instructions, the tools. Really, what we received this weekend were new tools in our toolbox, didn't we, guys? How many fathers like power tools on Father's Day? Because it builds your toolbox, doesn't it? Guess what? Our marriages got tools to add to the toolbox this weekend. So we could choose to use those tools to communicate better, or we could just stay where we're at and stay in the status quo. Mothers, you know all too well the transitions of life. Motherhood has many new beginnings. You love and you serve selflessly. No matter what you are faced with, even with all the questions that you have in your mind, the emotions of the transitions to come, you find yourself full of hope for what your kids might someday become. Perhaps you sit here today as a proud parent of what your kids became. It is because of your sacrifice. It is because of your decisions to raise your kid. Now, maybe you're on the backside of this where your kids are starting to have kids. And as I said before, now you just get to take a back seat without all the stress and just love on those kids the same way you loved on yours. Maybe with a little bit more sugar. And listen, everyone at some point in their life, this applies to all of us, we all face new beginnings and transitions in life. There comes a day when we all face a transition. It could be moving. It could be changing jobs. It could be family situations. It could be school. And it could be spiritual direction from the Lord. Now, I hope you haven't tuned me out because I'm not a mom and I didn't go to the marriage conference and I did not graduate high school this weekend. This message is not just for those three categories. Rather, this message is for all of us here today because this applies to all of us. Because at the base of it, we all have new beginnings. We all face transitions. During moments of new beginnings, here's what this all is. The whole purpose of all of this. When Jesus said, stay in the city until, and they stayed in the city, why did they stay in the city? Because they trusted the words that Jesus said. They trusted when He said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and will give you power. So during moments of these new beginnings, it's all about trusting Jesus. During times of transition, it is all about trusting Jesus. The disciples could have run. They could have scattered. They could have gone back to their everyday lives. But instead, they followed and they trusted Jesus' instruction. They stayed in the city until the Holy Spirit came, the Helper. I wonder this morning, what is Jesus instructing you to do? What is Jesus asking you to do? What step is Jesus asking you to take, or is Jesus saying, hey, I just need you to be still for a moment? It might be 10 days. It might be 25 days. It might be 5 years. But I need you to just be still. Many of you have heard our story. Many of you here know our story, what it took to get my credentials. It took years. It took years of waiting and trusting and sometimes even questioning the Lord. Why is this taking so long? What is going on? And even wondering if God had somehow forgotten us. Have you been there before? It was on His timing when He brought the final piece into play for credentials to take place. And that is what we talk about today, is baptism in the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon. We had to wait before our new beginning could start. We were in that moment where the Lord said, "Trust in me. I have called you to this. I will see you to it. There is no amount of work I could put in that would change that result." You may find yourself in a similar situation where it takes years of waiting. It takes years of hoping. It takes years of praying. But what can't change, the constant that cannot change, is your trust in Jesus to follow through with what He has called you to do. What He has said you will achieve, you will. Trust in Him. Trust in His ability and not in yours. So there's something that we all have in common today and with the disciples of Jesus' time. We share in the promise of the Holy Spirit. We share in the promise that God will empower us to use us to build His kingdom. Not our kingdom. Not my kingdom. Not Joel's kingdom. His kingdom. The promise of God is to lead us into new beginnings, to give us wisdom, to give us power, to give us comfort and guidance. And the most important is to be with us forever. That comes from John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever." 1 John 5:11 and verse 12 tells us it is Jesus who indwells in us. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever the Son has life, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It is the Spirit of Jesus that lives in us. And Jesus said, "The Father comes to abide with us," in John 14, 23. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and He will come to them and make our home with them." Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul says, "Christ lives in me." It's pretty clear where Christ resides, right? Then in chapter 3, verse 5, he says that God has given us His Spirit in us. And in verses 26 through 27, he says that believers are baptized into Christ and are clothed with Christ. It's pretty clear that Spirit baptism means Jesus is with me forever. When God sends His power from on high onto us, we are clothed and we are baptized into Christ. When we step into a relationship with Jesus, hear this: Jesus is with you. Jesus is in you. He is in your heart. This is why we feel bad about things that we start to do, that we know are sins. That's because the Holy Spirit is saying, "Hey, Ken, knock it off. Mike, you're being silly today. Stop it." Or, "You know, that was a pretty boneheaded thing you did yesterday. You should probably call and apologize." I've been there. We are clothed with Christ. Jesus is present with all of us through our new beginnings. He is with us through the transitions of life, and it's all through the power of the Holy Spirit. Even in transition, as the disciples were, they found themselves in 10 days waiting for this power. What I want you to know, even if God has called us to wait, guess what? Jesus is with us. We don't have to wait for His presence because His presence is with us day in and day out, moment by moment. We are blessed by His sweet presence. Joel, if you want to come on up. What we need to understand today is that new beginnings, they are not solitary events. They are opportunities for our community to shine. They are opportunities where there are individuals among us who are in need of a fresh start. Do you know somebody who needs Jesus this morning? Two hands in the whole room? Yeah, that's what I thought. Do you know somebody who needs Jesus this morning? They need a fresh start. They need a transition from their current state to the path that God has laid out for them. There's a transition that can happen. As a church, as individuals, we can be that beacon of hope. We can be that one that helps them through that transition. And it's by actively engaging our community for Jesus that we can help introduce that new beginning in their life. So for those of you who are in the midst of a new beginning, and for those who aren't, there's one coming. Here's what we can do. New beginnings can be exciting. Indeed, they are exciting. New points of life, new things happening. But they're often accompanied by a mix of emotions, some uncertainty, some questions, some emotions. However, with Jesus by our side, we can rest in the confidence of His leading. We know that He is leading us in to new beginnings. The fulfillment of His promises of our life will come to pass because He is the one that made the promise. And with the empowering presence of His Holy Spirit, this assurance, this promise that He has given us, fills our hearts with hope. It gives us excitement. And it helps to inspire us, and it helps us to embrace these new beginnings with joy. So are you joyful this morning? Are you excited for the new beginning? If you would you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? The most significant transition any one of us could make, the greatest new beginning that we could step into, the greatest thing that could happen in our life ever is to follow Jesus Christ, is to have a relationship with Him. See, it's through a relationship with Jesus that your life is forever changed. It is the greatest new beginning story that ever existed. Jesus left heaven to be born a baby, to live life as a man, was crucified on the cross for our sins, was buried in a tomb, rose from the dead 3 days later. Jesus did all of this so we might confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and that we would believe in our hearts that He rose from the dead. When we do that, Scripture says we will be saved. We will have the hope of eternal life forever with Him. And if this morning you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and you desire to step into that new beginning, would you please just raise your hand and put it back down? Amen. 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 Anybody else? Would you join with me in this prayer? Dear Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I know that I am a sinner. I have made bad choices. I believe that you have taken that away. You have made me clean by your blood. You are Lord and you are Savior of my life. From this moment on, I commit myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we had two people raise their hands this morning. Tell somebody about your new beginning. Don't just let it be, oh, I raised my hand in church 15 years ago, but I never really knew what took place. Tell somebody about your newfound faith in the Lord Jesus this morning. Let us help you go through that. And church, here's how I want to close today. I want to pray with you. If God is calling you into a new beginning, or if He's leading you into a transition that you have some uncertainty about, to what it is or to where it is, and maybe you just find yourself this morning needing some encouragement, I know somebody who can provide that. Maybe this morning you need strength to trust Him in that new beginning. If any of that applies to you, I would like to pray with you this morning. I want to pray for God's blessing to be upon you. And if that's you, would you just have the courage to stand up and to make your way to the front this morning? New beginnings. Come on up, Kelly. Anybody else? See, as we celebrate new beginnings, I'm just going to encourage you to continue to come up as we close here. But I want to celebrate new beginnings with you. I want to cover you in prayer. I want to send you out encouraged and strengthened. As we sing a song, as the worship team leads us in a song, can we agree to congratulate those who are celebrating a new beginning this morning? Let's make sure we tell our mothers Happy Mother's Day. And then let's also make sure to congratulate both Cole and Brayden on their graduations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we want to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, I pray for maybe those who didn't come up to the front because it's embarrassing and I don't know if I should. Lord, I pray that you would go before, that you would put a blessing upon them, that you would give them courage, that you would give them strength to carry out what you have called them to do. Lord, that they would feel your presence with them, that they would know that you are leading them every step of the day, every moment of the day. Lord, that you're just one word away, that you are here to be with us, present from this moment forward. Father, I pray over the mothers in here today. Lord, I pray for joy. I pray for sorrow. Lord, there's a mix of emotions that come with Mother's Day. So, Lord, I pray that you would wrap your arms around each one of them. Lord, that you would fill them with your presence, fill them with your power, fill them with your love, that you would encourage them today. Lord, that you would bring about joy in their situations today. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us. Lord, may we go out encouraged. May we go out seeking these new beginnings that you have called us to. Would you encourage us? Would you give us power by your Holy Spirit to witness of your kingdom, to tell others about Jesus Christ? Help us to go and be a disciple that makes disciples. Lord, we bring you all the honor. We bring you all the glory in your precious, holy, and matchless name. Everybody said, Amen.